speak to you, and I'm really looking forward to it. I know I've got a few things to say, but maybe God's got some things to say to you. No, I am confident that God wants to speak to you this morning. He wants to say something to you, and he wants to encourage you. And what I've prepared is really good news. It's really, really good. There's one fundamental question of life that all of us sometimes ask, which is, where do I come from? Where do I come from? And of course, the logical question that follows on from that is, where is my preferred destination? Where am I going? Yeah. On every journey, you kind of think, where do I come from? Where am I going? And finally, you've got to work out how to get there. And that's what I'm going to be talking about this morning. From Ephesians chapter 1. I've asked Ben if he would read that. Oh, we've got it up there already. That's amazing. Ben, would you come in?
I get my own mic. It's very exciting.
This is my son, Ben.
Hello, I'm Ben. It's nice to meet you all. Do you want me to read them?
Probably better than
that. Okay, sure. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. Do you want me to keep going past the bulb? Okay. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ.
Thanks very much. Hold. Let's get serious. Right. Now, this is an amazing... Is that right? Right. This is an amazing passage. I think that probably over the last 6 months, or probably the last year, I've decided definitely that Ephesians is my favourite book. There are 66 books in the Bible, as many of you know, but Ephesians is so packed full of stuff that unfortunately I can't go through a whole section, because there's just too much in there. So I'm just going to concentrate really on the one bit that's in bold. So we're just going to think about that one little bit. I couldn't quite get it down to one verse. It has to be one and a half, which is just a little bit interesting. And it's... I've got to move on, because of course I haven't. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will. So just that one section has so much in it, and it's really good news. So let's think about where we come from. I seem to have missed something out, and I can't quite work out where it was. Ah, here it is. I just want to say something first. The other day, Steve came round to our house. He came to our house, and in our house are two doors, internal doors, like patio doors, because they've got glass in them. And these two doors have this pattern in the glass. But, interestingly, I've lived in the house for 10 years, and I never noticed this pattern. But Steve pointed out, he said, did you know there's a picture of a tulip in the glass, in the sort of curves of the glass? And I'd never noticed it. And I thought, wow, yes, so there is. But one of the doors, the window is cracked and broken. And so we've kind of shut the doors so that no one can use it. And it is one of the jobs, yes, Mel, I will get round to it, is to change the glass that is in it. But not only is it cracked and broken, it's also upside down as well. So the glass there is upside down. But in the glass is what the builder, or the, I suppose, the glazier originally wanted as a pattern that was there. But you don't always see it. I think most of you, or a lot of you, have been to my house, and maybe you haven't noticed, but Steve did. So that is good. Oh, it's in his house as well. But he noticed it in his house. But before he noticed it in mine. But often in life, we go through life and we don't see something that's there. We don't see something there, even though it may be cracked or broken. And that's what I want to think about today, or one of the things. So first of all, let's think about where we come from. Well, most of us say, well, I come from my parents, of course. Mum and Dad, and we have some parents and children here this morning. So, effectively, you say, well, yeah, of course, that's where I come from. I come from my mum and dad, and I have the genes in me that pass down through the generations, and that's who I am. That's where I come from. But scientists say that where we actually come from, or how we are formed, comes from two things. It's called nurture and nature. Either it's our DNA and our parents that determine us, or it's the environment we live in, the things that we're exposed to, the things that we decide to do. Now, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, when we're fairly young, I'm thinking teenagers and early 20s, we kind of think that everything we do is determined by the choices that we make. We kind of make various choices in life and we decide to do things and we go down a particular path. But as we get older in life, one day, often we look in the mirror and suddenly, looking back at us, is our mum and dad. In more ways than just the way we look, but sometimes we realise that actually we have some characteristics that are more familiar with our parents than we originally thought. If you're younger, wait and see. But what does this passage say? For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. And I'm going to concentrate on this phrase first of all. So if we go on a fair bit, you might think, he's only done one point and we're nearly all the way through. Well, that's because we're going to think a little bit about this. He, of course, means God. So God chose us before the creation of the earth. That is an amazing statement. That is why I am talking to you today. Because 4 or 5 months ago, I just read that. And it blew my mind. And I'll explain why. So there's certain things that we can conclude from this particular, just this few lines. God knew us. God knew us before the earth was created. Second thing is, we must have existed in some form for God to know us before the creation of the world. The third thing that we need to realize is that God chose us He chose us. That's what the passage tells us. Those three points. But we go on. There are several other things that we can conclude from Scripture as a whole. And I'd love to give you loads of verses, but we'd be here for ages. So, the first one is God created us. We all know that God created us. God also loves us. Now, I expect many of you can quote a verse from the Bible which demonstrates that God loves us. Not only quote, but you have personal experience saying that Jesus loves us. We also know that God is omniscient. He knows all things. There's nothing hidden from him. He's wise. All wise and all good. And also we know, in the beginning was God. Nothing else existed except God in the beginning. There's only two types of creatures in this universe, created and uncreated. We're created, and God is uncreated, because he's always existed. So you might spot the slight problem there. How could we have existed if only God existed at that point? Bit of a problem. Well, I think there's an answer there. The answer is we existed in God. It was in his imagination or in his mind or the thoughts of God which were about us before anything else existed. Can you just get a hold of that in your mind? Before anything was made, before the foundation of the world, God conceived you. He thought about you. Even before time itself started. When it says God created light and dark, well, before that, God existed. I think that means when time started. So the question is, God was thinking about you before kind of time. It's a bit mind-blowing, but this is the way it helps me to understand it. So God was thinking at you. How long do you think he had before he made the world? A long time. Eternity before the world was made. And he was thinking about you. And he was thinking about your personality and who you were. But what were you like in the mind of God? What were you like at that point in time? When God was thinking about it, he's conceived you, he's thinking about you. What were you like? Well, we read later that he predestined you in love. So if he had love for you, he must have had a relationship with you. So he must have known quite a bit about you. I mean, I know we can say, I love this floor. But that's not really what love really means. Love, according to the Bible, is about relationship. Not that I do love this floor, by the way. But it's about relationship. It's about how we relate. So God had a relationship with us before the foundation of the earth. But what were we like? Before the creation of the earth meant before the fall. Before sin had entered the world. So no sin had entered. And we were in the mind of God. So what were we like? Well, I would suggest to you that we were holy and blameless before the creation of the world. In fact, we were perfect. Just like Mary Poppins. Perfect in every way. Well, maybe not. But that's the way God made us. That is how he conceived us. I would suggest that that is how God sees us. Maybe we were only in the mind of God, but wow, the mind of God may be thinking about you personally for maybe 100 million years, and then he had another 100 million for everyone else, for every other person in the universe. I don't know. But why were we created? Now, 2 weeks ago, Tom, who is playing the drums here, Tom spoke to us a little bit about this subject. He said, we were created to worship. That's our primary purpose, to worship. Not in a narrow sense, singing together on a Sunday morning, but worship with our whole lives. That's why we were created. That's one of the fundamental things, to give God glory and to worship. And I would recommend you listen to Tom's... We have this wonderful system where we record everything that we say. And, well, nearly everything. And in the talks. And I would definitely recommend, go to the website and listen to what Tom had to say. Particularly when he was talking about... Well, for me, anyway... It was when he was talking about Yahweh, breathing the name of Yahweh. I heard that on Saturday night because I wasn't actually here when he actually spoke it. So I just heard it on the podcast, is that the right term? But it was very good and very informative. And I would encourage you to listen to that. So we need to worship God. God has created us for worship, created us to be in relationship with Him. So, God made us perfect at that point because there was no sin in the world. There is no other option. But you may say to me this morning, well, Paul, I don't feel very perfect this morning. I feel a bit covered in tar. I don't feel quite perfect. In fact, to be honest with you, Paul, you're not perfect either. I'm in the church with you, I know. And you will have... You've got me there. I am not yet perfect. But I'm on my way. Okay, we were born into sin. We were born as a fruit of Adam. And sin is at work in our bodies. And we will physically die as a result of that. Unless Jesus comes back. But we will probably die. But one day... No, that comes later. I'll tell you, say that later. But there's one important caveat I want to sort of just mention this morning, which I think is really important. What I've been talking about primarily is about you and who you are and how you've been created. Unfortunately, the world and the Western world at the moment is very obsessed with the self. And I just wanted to stress that at this particular point in time. That obviously we do think about, the iPhone, me, me, me. Did you know that selfies are now the number one photo? People take photos of themselves more than anything else. Which is, and the number is rising massively. It's, if you look at it, I saw a graph a few weeks ago, and it was like, whoa, even faster than Bitcoin's. So it was just going, whoop, like this. And so people are taking pictures of themselves. What does that say about our society? It says, I am number one. I'm preeminent. I'm the most important thing. What matters is me, me, me. And I just wanted to give you a bit of a health warning about that. Because actually our lives are not primarily about our own comfort and our own needs. We recently got a device which enables me to control my heating from my phone. Great. I can now be in the office and turn my heating on so that when I get home it's nice and warm. Or I can be in bed and turn it on. Isn't that good? Except it didn't work last night, so I was really fed up. But anyway, I had to get up and go downstairs and put it on. Oh, technology, don't you hate it? Anyway, so the thing is that most of our lives are orientated in the Western world to try and be comfortable. Let's be comfortable and let's be healthy. But what does Jesus say? Jesus says we're here to be salt and light. Salt and light. It's not primarily about ourselves. It's about making the world a better place. That's what we're called to. Yes, we're called to worship, but we're called to worship in and also be salt and light in the same process, all the same thing. So we need to guard ourselves against those things. Then, now we need to think about, what do we need to think about now? Where is our destination? Now, you might notice that on here it doesn't say destination. That's my wonderful dyslexia. God is so good to us. He gives me dyslexia just so that I don't notice that. And just last night I did notice it. And I just felt a check in my spirit when I was going to change it. What is your designation? What is it in you? And I just felt maybe to ask that question of you. What is it determines who you are and what you're like? What is your designation this morning? What does designation mean, Tony?
Well, I was asking myself the same question there, but I think it's to do with the word design.
Yeah. Well, we use this word at work, and it's kind of, it shows you what work is allocated to you, so kind of where you fit, like what you, where you, yeah, I just get what you're designated to be and do.
Wow. I didn't know that. Isn't God amazing? Because that's exactly what we're talking about. Purpose. What is the purpose for you? Who determined your purpose? Where do you come from? What is your... It's quite... it's quite amazing, isn't it? I didn't quite realize that. What is your purpose in life? What is your designation? What are you built for? To be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure. Our destination is to be holy and blameless in His sight. That's where we're going. You may realize that I'm not holy and blameless, but one day I will be. So for an eternity before creation was born, I was holy and blameless in God's sight. In 100 years or maybe 20 or 30, I will also be for eternity. It's just this short 100 years when I won't, if I'm lucky to get 100. But it's not only what happens in the past and what happens in the future. The reality is you have been built to be holy and blameless. And God has done everything necessary for you to be that way. Not only has He made you like that from the very beginning, but also He's provided for the sin in your life by Jesus dying on the cross. So there is no need to sin anymore. We're no longer slaves to sin. You see, it's really important how we think about ourselves. How do you think about yourselves? Do you think I'm a miserable person, or negative thoughts. We can all have negative thoughts about who we are and what we're like. I'm no good. I'm not good enough. In the Bible, in Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says, as a man thinks, so he will be. Unfortunately, it's only in the King James Version. It's not in the NIV or various other ones. I don't know why, but I like to the King James Version for this particular verse. As a man thinks, so he will be. If you think in a particular way, that will affect your behavior. If you realize that you have been made and designed and designated by God for good works, then it will affect how you behave. You see, Jesus died on a cross to set us free from the power of sin. Total freedom. It's not partial. It's not a little bit. It's not only sin that we've just done, but total. He's paid the price. What are you saying here, Paul? I am saying there is no need for anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord to sin. There is no need for them to sin. They are no longer under slaves to sin. But Paul, you know, I know everybody sins. Yes, but we are not slaves to sin. This is radical. You see, but my experience doesn't tell me that. My experience doesn't either. It's hard to grasp. I know so many of us are trapped in some form of sin or other. But the Word of God says that we are not trapped in sin, that we are free from it. Now, which are you going to believe? What are you going to say? You're going to say, oh, you know, I just can't, you know, I'm compelled to sin in certain areas. I'm addicted to certain areas of sin. It's just the way I am. No, it's not the way you are. It's not who you are. You can be set free from any sin. Any sin. And you can no longer sin in that area again. This is hard for us to really fully accept. This is not easy to grab a hold of. Because we think, oh, well, it's just who I am. It's just how I've been built. It's not how you've been built. It's not who you are. Get it in your head. Believe it. Believe what the Word of God says. Whenever I sin in my life, it's because ultimately I don't, fundamentally, deep down, it's because I don't trust God and I don't trust His Word. It's because I don't trust it. Now, I have a choice. Every single time I have a choice. Am I going to accept it, or am I going to just go with my experience or what I've always done? I only have one problem in life. You might think, well, you're lucky, Paul. I do. It's called temptation. I can resist anything but temptation. But doesn't Jesus in the Lord's Prayer say, deliver us from temptation? Deliver us from temptation. You see, God has predestined us for eternity. Now, you may or may not know, but many theologians debate the difference between predestination and free will. And Tony will answer your questions on that later. Or you can ask my son, Ben. He's done a degree in theology, a first he got, and his wife also got a first in theology. Got two here. So they'll be able to sort you out on predestination and free will. All I can say is this. I can simply say this. I believe that God has predestined us. That he knows everything that we will go through. That he knows everything about us. He's omniscient. He knows everything that's ever taken place. I know from this verse that he has thought about everything that we will go through. He has provided a blueprint in our life to be able to follow. Yes, it may be cracked. Yes, it may be upside down. Yes, you may not be able to see it in you or maybe in someone else around here. Sometimes it is difficult to see it in some other members of the church. But it's there. No matter how cracked, how broken, how upside down, it is there. And God has given us a way out. So I don't care, really. Yeah, let's say that. I don't care whether you come from a really bad family, where everything has gone wrong in your family, where your DNA is all messed up. Because God did a plan before that and had it all sorted out and has given you the keys and the abilities, if you trust him, to sort it all out. And say, oh, well, yeah, but I've made some bad decisions in my life. The way I've nurtured myself is not good. I've decided to do this wrong and that wrong, and it's really wrecked my life, and everything's gone wrong because of what I've done. It's not my family's fault, it's my fault. I've wrecked it. I've wrecked it for good. I've shattered it, I've broken it, it's upside down, and it's no good anymore. Even in that situation, even then, God created you before the creation of the world. He had a plan in his mind about you, and it was perfect and good. And if you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, he has died for your sins and set you free, and therefore you will live in eternity, perfect, without blemish, holy in his sight. And it's easy to be holy in other people's sight. Well, not easy, but it's easier. But in God's sight, you can't fool God. He's saying that about you. Our education system used to be all about blaming kids for doing things wrong. Now it seems to be trying to encourage them by saying more positive things about them, which I think is brilliant. Trying to encourage them by positive statements. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he will be. Think positively about yourself. Think that God made you. Not because positivity helps you, but because it's true. Because you are awesomely and wonderfully made. And deep inside you, you reflect who God is and what he's like. Therefore, you're of infinite value. That's why everyone in this room is of infinite value. And so is every human being on this earth. That's why we believe that. That's why it's fundamental to our beliefs. I'm getting carried away now. How do we get there? How do we get there? Well, I really feel that it's really very simple. You see, God has chosen us. God has paid the price for us. God has promised to be with us. God has equipped us with all we need. You don't need anything else. God has it all. He's built it into you. And he's built it in to your friends, your family, your acquaintances, your enemies. He'll use anything. And he's predestined those things to help you out. But does that mean we don't have choice? Well, I believe we do have choice. We still have choice. How does that work? Ask Tony, ask. I think that we still have a choice. And I think all we need to do is one couple of simple things. And I was just praying about this, and I just felt this old hymn come to mind. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. This is good news, friends. This is really good news. You're okay because God made you like that. Yes, you may feel like you're covered in tar. You may feel shattered or broken. But God has a plan to fix you, to make you better. You just have to cooperate. That's all you have to do. Cooperate, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. I think over the last 6 months or so, this has really been very fundamental in my life. And I'm just happier. I'm just happier. I'd say there are times, Mel will verify, that sometimes I do think quite negatively about myself, particularly when things go wrong. I'm sure I'm totally on my own about that. But I have felt quite negative. But since reading that, and really, I'm just saying, I want to believe that. I want to believe that. I do believe that. I do believe that that's true. You made me for greater things than this. For greater than where I am now. You have made me for greater things, and I want to be there. And I want to be used as salt and light in this world to do better things. And God can do that. In there is that beautiful picture that God has made of me. Beautiful. I can see you all looking. But I am, despite appearances. And so are you. You are beautiful to God. You are wonderful. Remember that. Isn't that good news? Are you pleased about that? Is that good news? Good. I'm glad you agree with me. That's great. I'll hand over to Tony.
Praise the Lord. We're on a journey. Yeah. Let's just pray. Yeah. The journey. This recognition through Jesus that we're his sons and daughters, and he's really delighted about that according to his pleasure. Just ask God's pleasure would just, you just sense it upon you today. When God made the world, he saw that it was good and it pleased him. What he's purposed in and through and our lives for pleases him. It's his pleasure. It's a bit of a distraction, but when Eric Little, who was one of the missionary to China, but before that he was Olympic gold medalist, and he said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. And in our lives, being who we are, we were made for his pleasure. Revelation tells us this, that he made all things for his pleasure, for his, to please him. And so God, when he was contemplating and knowing you, as it were, before the foundation of the world, it pleased him. And that's a revelation. What Paul's been saying this morning is revelation, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And that's according to God's pleasure. He renews our mind according to his pleasure. And I know you'll be saying, but, and what, and all those things. And I just, as Anna caused us to do it this morning, just put those things out in front and say, Lord, I was made for your pleasure. I was made for your purpose. I was made to be a true son and daughter in this world, to reflect my Father and bring him glory. And that's not about me. It's about you. It's not my capability, it's your power. It's not my will, but yours. And I thank you for the truth we've been washed with this morning, Father. I pray that we continue to walk in that renewing of our minds. I thank you for the joy that we had in singing and worshiping together with you. May that renew our minds. And Lord, I pray we won't just be kind of people that look in the mirror and walk away and forget what kind of person we were. But we've looked in the mirror this morning and we've seen you. I love that picture where Paul said about you look in the mirror and you see your dad or mom looking back at you. But when we look in the Word of God, which is like a mirror, we see God looking back at us. We see his purposes. We see his grace. We see his love. And Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your love and your purpose, that you're not giving up, because what you planned before eternity, you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. And we put our trust in that and we obey it. So I just pray the blessing of God be upon us, that his word would remain in us, that his goodness would shine through us, and that the oil of joy would be our portion. Amen. Thank you, Paul, for sharing that. I know that's been on your heart for, where's he gone? For some months. Paul told me a few months ago that he was ready to go on Ephesians 1. So we let it cook a bit longer. And we got it this morning. Praise the Lord.